We're going to look in the Old Testament this evening and look at Joshua chapter 1 and talk about God being on our side and God being an encourager for us. This morning we talked a lot about spiritual gifts, and one of those gifts being encouragement and using your gifts to encourage other people. Well, tonight we want to talk about how God can encourage us as well. So turn to Joshua chapter 1. You know, I think one of the greatest leaders in the Bible was probably Moses. You could definitely debate, all different leaders in the Bible and so forth, but I think Moses was one of the greatest leaders in the entire Bible. Even when we consider his faults, and even when we consider his times of doubting God, that he really was the one that needed to be doing what God had called him to do. With all of that being said, it was still Moses that God chose to confront Pharaoh, and Moses to deliver those 10 plagues. Can you imagine going to Pharaoh each time and taking that next plague and saying, if you don't get it, I'm going to be back, and it's going to be bigger and worse. So it was Moses that was chosen to do that. It was Moses that was chosen to help deliver the people out of Egypt. It was Moses who was chosen to part the Red Sea. It was Moses that God chose to give the Ten Commandments to take down and deliver to the people. Over and over again, God used Moses as a great leader for his purposes and for the good of the Israelites. And Moses led the Israelites for decades. And he was known, I think, for the most part, to be a very respected leader in that time of history, especially a leader for God. But you know what? There came a time when Moses had to pass on the mantle of leadership to somebody else. That role that he had held for so many decades, and that mantle was to be handed to a young man named Joshua. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Think about being Joshua in that situation. Joshua had been by Moses' side and seen all the things that Moses had done and how Moses was truly a man of God. And having to follow such a great man of God probably brought with it a lot of anxiety. It's like, wow, we hear what Moses said, I'm not worthy, but, Joshua's probably thinking, I'm supposed to follow that? This guy turned a staff into a snake and things like that. You want me to be the next leader to follow in the footsteps of such a giant in his faith? And the good news is that God did choose Joshua. And when he did, the great news is God was with him every step of the way in what he wanted Joshua to do. He not only was with him, but he offered him instruction and he offered him encouragement time and time again in order to help him become the leader that God wanted him to be and to be able to accomplish the things that God had chosen Joshua to do. Now, I doubt any of us are in a similar position that Joshua was in, but I know this. All of us in here at time need to hear God's words of encouragement and God's words even of instruction in our life as to what he wants us to do and the kind of person that he wants us to be. And I believe that what God told Joshua back in those Old Testament times can speak to us as well and be the same kind of words of encouragement and instruction that he gave to Joshua. So let's take a look this evening and take some time to consider what God had to say to Joshua. First, he told Joshua to let go of yesterday. Let go of yesterday. Let's read verses 1 and 2. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Now, did you get what God said? God's telling Joshua, hey, Moses is dead. You know, now, why did God say that? God didn't have to tell Moses. Joshua knew Moses had died. It wasn't like that was a revelation. Oh, really? I hadn't heard that. Hadn't heard that from, the town gossip yet or whatever. You know, hadn't heard that fact. Joshua knew that Moses was dead. So why do you think God had to mention that fact to him? And I think it's that perhaps he was telling Joshua, it's time for a change. It's time to move on. And it's time to quit looking backward in your life and start looking toward the future. You know, when Joshua, think about this, when Joshua looked at the past, think about what he saw. I mean, he had seen the expectations of the Israelites and what they were wanting from Moses in him leading them. They finally had this guy to help deliver them out of the bondage of Egypt. When he looked back, he could see time and time again, miracle after miracle, that Moses was involved in that, delivering that miracle to the people. Of course, the miracle was from God, but Moses was the one who was helping to deliver that miracle from Almighty God. He had seen this great man, Moses, do these incredible things and take amazing steps of faith as he worked right there side by side with him. So in terms of looking back at, quote, yesterday, and knowing that Moses was able to lead the people of Israel, there's no doubt that Joshua had to feel some sense of insecurity. He had to feel some sense of, I don't know if I'm worthy to be the next in line to follow such a great leader. And so I wonder, in your lives, have you had times when you felt a sense of inadequacy? Have you felt that you've been called or maybe asked to do something and felt like, I don't think I'm the one you want to do that? Have you had that feeling of being insecure or not worthy? And maybe it's been in a leadership position or leadership situation, but you know what? It could be in your home. You know, you might, as a family person, either a husband or a wife, looked and saw the generation of your parents or the neighbors down the street and watched and looked at this family or this couple that you thought, man, they've got their act together. And I don't know if I can lead my family like that. Maybe a sense of inadequacy. Maybe a sense of inadequacy when it comes time to stepping up and sharing your faith with someone. And yet you've seen other people just be a great witness and be so bold in their faith that they're willing to just talk to anyone and share what God's done in their lives. But maybe you don't feel quite capable of that. And you feel that sense of insecurity. And the truth is that too often in almost every arena of our lives, we base our future on what we've seen in the past. Now, don't hear me wrong. There's nothing wrong from learning from the past. That's not where I'm going or what I'm saying at all. But God's word to Joshua, and I think his word to us as well, is this: let go. Let go of yesterday. It doesn't matter what someone else accomplished. It doesn't matter how they did it. It doesn't matter. It's time for you to step up and allow God talking to us. Allow me to work through you to continue the cause. But you need to let go of yesterday. And while you and I can find mentors and role models who have been there before, you might be sitting out there with a feeling that God is personally calling you to do something for the cause of Christ, to do something in an area of ministry, to do something. And that might require saying goodbye to yesterday and hello to the days to come. So I think one of the things he told Joshua was, let go of yesterday. Second thing he told him was, he said, claim my promises. We need to claim God's promises. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. And I think there are several promises that we can get out of this story and find in this passage. The first one is this. We have the promise of God's will for our lives. That's an awesome promise. I have the promise of God's will in my life. And to discover God's will in my life, I must be willing to invite Him into my life and allow Him to be the leader in what I'm doing and where I'm going and just to give me the instructions of what I need to do. I need to allow Him to be in charge and not me try to do it myself. Because once I've accepted Him as Lord, then I'll be able to discern what He's trying to say by listening and looking for it. And we can do that in a number of ways. Number one, we can do that through Scripture. Psalm 119:105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word. This word. We can do it through prayer. James 1:5 says, If any of you lacks wisdom, if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing and you feel lost, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. We can do it through counsel of godly people. Proverbs 15:22 says, Without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, plans succeed. And we can do it through circumstances. In Esther chapter 4, it says, And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We also can get it through desire. Psalm 37:4 says, Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So we have the promise of God's will in our life. Then we have the promise of God's power and presence in our lives. Joshua 1:5, we move on with the story that we're reading here. Verse 5 says, No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. We need to understand that whatever God calls us to do and wherever He sends us, He's going to be there to sustain us. If it's His will and He's called us to be involved in it, He is going to be present and He's going to sustain us. And once you understand God's will for your life, you need to have the faith that He is going to walk with you every step of the way. And that should help to alleviate any fears that you might have. And when we understand that God's always present with us, that's going to build confidence. It's going to help us gain a different kind of perspective on what we're doing. It's going to help us to find a new inner peace in our lives, that kind of peace that Jesus said, My peace I leave to you. Not the world's peace. This is, like we talked about, this is a supernatural kind of peace that my Father has given to me. I want to leave that to you. Wow. Also give us the courage to face whatever may come. Another promise we have is God's prosperity and success in our lives. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. It says, Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God will not only reveal His will to you, He'll not only give you His power and let you feel His presence, He'll also move you toward the success that He wants you to have in His life through His will for the betterment of His kingdom. This is what God gives us when we do His will in His life. So we need to, in this passage, God is telling Joshua, let go of yesterday. Claim my promises. Claim them for yourself. And then finally, meet God's conditions. Meet my conditions. And you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't take some time to explore the fact that through God's encouragement and His instructions, all of that sounds good, but there are things that we have to do along the way that He expects of us through our obedience in order for all of these things to happen and these conditions to take place. He'll do all that He's promised here. All that He did for Joshua, He'll do those things for us, but there are expectations laid out for us that we need to make sure we're putting into place in our lives. One of those is study the Scripture. Study the Scripture. Preacher Gordon MacDonald told the story about himself. This is what he said. He said, being a frequent flyer makes it possible for me to get a seat in the exit row on most airline flights. Great legroom. But the privilege comes with it, responsibility. The flight attendant comes up, kneels by my aisle seat and says, have you read the instruction card that tells you how to open the door in case of emergency? I need a verbal answer. I fudge the truth a bit and say yes when the truthful answer is no. I mean, does it take a rocket scientist to know that you simply swivel the handle and push the door out and to the side? So I tell her yes, I've read the card. But she's smart. She says, if an emergency happens, I'll be depending on you to open the door. Dozens of other people will also be relying on you too. So are you sure that you know what's on the card? Suddenly she has my attention. It occurs to me in that insightful moment that this is not unlike the way some people respond to sermons, especially mine. I really do read those cards now. Like Gordon MacDonald, we need to read the instructions carefully. And those instructions are found in the Word of God. Look at verse 8 in Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If you're not spending regular quality time in God's Word, I highly recommend that you start doing so. And the neat thing about it is, if you're not, it's an easy remedy to reverse it and make it happen. So sit down with your Bible and start reading it. It's really that simple. Next, we need to obey God. Obedience is an important thing in these instructions that He's given to Joshua and He wants to give to us as well. God said, not only do we need to study His Word, it's okay to study it and it's okay to have all the knowledge up in your head, but if you're not following through and doing what the instructions say, then you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. He says, I need you to obey what's written in it. In other words, the head knowledge isn't enough. We need to start living what we're learning. Some of the ways we can do that is I like, this could kind of be your own personal vision statement, by the way. Think about this. I need to know it in my head. Memorize it. I need to stow it in my heart. Meditation. I need to show it in my life. Visualization. And I need to sow it in the world. Evangelism. Know it, stow it, show it, and sow it. Memorization, meditation, visualization, evangelism. And then we need to be strong and courageous. How many times did God tell Joshua, be strong and courageous? It says it both in verses 6 and 9. He commands Joshua, be strong and courageous. You know, he knew he needed to encourage Joshua in that because he knew that Joshua was going to face pressures unlike you and I even have to face in some of the tough times we have in our lives, pressures that we probably never dream of. I mean, he was taking over the leadership of all the people of Israel, hundreds of thousands of Israelites. He was going to be their leader, and now has been the one to actually take them, lead them into the promised land. And God knew that Joshua was going to face battles. He knew that there were going to be lives lost along the way. So he knew that Joshua was going to be facing these stressful times. So he tells him multiple times, be strong and courageous. God's promises and encouragement, if we have them, like the ones that we looked at today with Joshua, it will help us to face those situations in our lives, just knowing that God's there encouraging us. That God's there giving us strength. And it's strength that is beyond what a mortal man is capable of helping us with. Eric Weinmayer is blind. Yet on May 25th of 2001, he reached the peak of Mount Everest. Think about that. Blind. He reached the peak of Mount Everest. He suffered from a degenerate eye disease, and he lost his sight when he was 13 years old. Obviously, that didn't stop him. You know, on a mountain where 90% of the climbers that even attempt to climb it fail, this blind man made it to the top. Matter of fact, since 1953, I think it's like 165 people have died even trying. You know, just the thought of being blind and even attempting it is amazing to me. But Eric succeeded. And in a large measure, it was because he listened well. He listened to the little bell that was tied to the leg of the climber in front of him so he could follow that sound and know the next direction that he needed to take. He listened to the voice of his teammates, the other climbers, who would shout back down to him, death fall 2 feet to your right. Imagine that. There you are hanging and somebody says, oh, be careful, 2 feet to your right. If you try to take that step, it's a death fall. And you can't even look at it. He had to listen to his teammates to help him out so he'd know the direction that he needed to go. He listened to the sound of his pick jabbing at the ice, so he would know whether the ice was safe enough to cross in that area. You know, now most of us will never even think about doing something like climbing Mount Everest. But you know what? We are on the adventure of a lifetime when we accept God's will in our lives. It's an adventure, and it's a great one. And we can take strength and courage from God as he gives us the instructions that we need. We can listen just like Eric had to listen to those teammates and fellow men trying to climb Mount Everest. We don't listen to a bell, but we listen to God who's called us and instructing us on what he wants us to do. We have the strength and courage that can only come from listening to that still, small voice of God. as we get ready to conclude, I want to tell you a story about Ken Langley, because he told this story on himself. Ken Langley said, "My 10-year-old son was helping me paint the laundry room. I brushed, he rolled. When he disappeared to go get a Coke or go to the bathroom, I re-rolled over what he had painted. I didn't mind doing this, but I did mind his repeated efforts to reach higher than he should. Standing on tiptoe with his arm straight up, wobbly, trying to control the roller, heavy with paint. Let Daddy get the high stuff," I said. "I'm afraid you'll drop the roller or lose your balance and fall in the paint." I had delivered this lecture several times when I had to leave the room briefly, returning to find Justin once again stretched ambitiously but precariously with a shaky, an ineffectual roller in his fingertips. "Justin," I barked, "I told you to stop stretching." I can get that. "Okay, Daddy, I won't do it again." And in the silence that followed, I wondered how many times over the years I'd given my children that message: stop stretching. How often have I said, "You can't do this. It's too hard. Let me do it. Don't be unrealistic. Don't reach so high." Too often, I'm afraid. And now that I think about it, I kind of hope they weren't listening. Our Heavenly Father does just the opposite. He says, "I want you to stretch out as far as you can, and I want you to do the impossible. And I'll be with you every step of the way." Let's pray.